We all know that one of the key factors in business success, whether you're working in sales or you're delivering sales pitches or you're public speaking or you're presenting, is confidence. So what an episode I've got for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a guy on here who's going to talk about confidence. His business is called Sales Confidence, for goodness sake. Welcome, everybody. This is episode number 300. Yes, 300. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Blimey, we started this podcast over 6 years ago. It wasn't called Better Presentations, More Sales then. It was called Attracting and Retaining Customers. But it's kind of changed because it's evolved. But it's still been coming out virtually every Monday since 2018. So thank you so much if you're a listener for tuning in. And if you're a new listener, well, please don't go back and start at number one. Okay, it'll take you years to catch up. Start with this one and work your way backwards. Or it's like a library. Someone once said to me, podcasts are like a library because you can just pick and choose the episode. So find it on your own. If you're listening to this on your phone, you can scroll down. You can see all the previous episodes and then you can pick the ones that you think are relevant for you. All of them are designed to help you deliver better presentations and create more sales. So hopefully we're giving you the presentation skills and the sales skills, which is kind of what I do when I work with people either on training sessions or one-to-one coaching and that sort of thing. Now, talking of training, I finally released my online business transformation course, or business presentation transformation course. It's called Transform Your Business Presentations. It's on my Thinkific platform. You can find it via onlinepresentationcourses.com. I'll put that link in the show notes. And I'm offering the first 25 people who take the course, which is retails at £197 sterling. What a bargain! Even more of a bargain, I'll give you a code via this podcast. I'll put it in the show notes. It'll be 7STEPS50. You can use that at the checkout and you get 50% off. So less than £100 is your investment to go on this course. And that includes complimentary membership of the Standout Business Presenters Club. How about that? That's going to be great as well. We'll be doing group coaching, exclusive webinars, all opportunity to get lower rates on one-to-one coaching, all sorts of goodies coming your way if you do that. And if you're not sure the course is for you, follow that link, onlinepresentationcourses.com, and there is a free lesson you can take. It's all about delivering your first big presentation, and it comes in the same formats as all the entire course, which is voiceover, slides, video kind of thing. It comes in an audio podcast version for each part of the course as well. It comes in extensive notes, so you don't have to make loads of notes yourself. And there's checklists, which are really useful, I'm told, when people are getting ready to do their presentation. Right, so if you want to be a great presenter and you want to grow sales, then one of the key elements of that, as I mentioned in the first part of this intro, is having the confidence to do it. So James Ski is coming on. James runs a business called Sales Confidence. He's just written a book, which is How to Build with Sales Confidence. And he's going to share some great ideas to help you with your sales, your presenting, your speaking. So it's a terrific episode. James is a very knowledgeable guy, and it was a pleasure having him on the show. So let's go and say hello to James. Well, James, welcome indeed to the podcast. So would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, thank you very much for having me, Trevor. I know that you've had many esteemed guests on here, all sorts of varied personalities, and so it's a privilege to be here today. As you mentioned, my name's James Ski. I am the founder and CEO of Sales Confidence. Sales Confidence, in essence, is a membership subscription and events business focused on helping salespeople and sales leaders, predominantly in the software space, with their mindset, well-being, and performance. So what we are driven is helping salespeople be the best version of themselves so they can effectively execute on their businesses. In terms of my background, I've worked in early stage software companies in the UK, and then I had the good fortune of working at LinkedIn. So I spent 4 years at LinkedIn, learning how to navigate large companies and leverage LinkedIn as a platform. And as a result of what I've done over the last few years, I've really understood what it takes to be an effective communicator, how to effectively speak from a stage, how to show up and put your best self forward. And as a result of that, by the time this podcast is out, my book, How to Build Sales Confidence, will be available on Amazon.
Fantastic. It's a great name, isn't it? Sales Confidence, because, confidence must be one of the prime key things to success, isn't it, in the sales environment?
Absolutely. You know what? It took me actually many, many months to come up with that name. at the time, I was working at LinkedIn, and I knew that I was going to focus my next stage of my career on the sales profession, because that's what I'd grown up in. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I cared about. The other side of it was I wanted it to be related to mindset, because all top performers have a growth mindset, and mindset is what differentiates people from the average. The other motivation for calling it sales confidence was I'm actually diagnosed with bipolar, which is a mood disorder. I've experienced high highs, but I've also experienced depressive lows. And as a result of depressive lows, I've been in states where I've lost a lot of confidence in myself, lacked belief at times, not been able to communicate as well as I would want to. And that word really resonated. So that's how sales confidence came to life. Now, confidence is the difference between, often a net high result of success or a low result in a sales process. If you don't demonstrate belief and confidence in your product, your service, or yourself, people are not going to buy into you. Whatever people say, and it's still a cliche, I very much believe that people buy from people still.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And it's interesting what you say about, you said about, your own condition of bipolar and the highs and the kind of lows. And to a certain degree, I imagine, James, that must have an impact on salespeople, people who are, are working in that environment. Because, I remember when I was doing sales, some days you'd be I still do sales now, but, in a different environment. But you think, great, I'm going to, smash it today. And other days you think, oh, I can't do this today. So it's part of what you do, trying to get, as you say, get that mindset more in that kind of positive mood more often than the I can't do it today mood.
Absolutely. You need that optimism, because at the top point in time that you're going out to a market with your business, your service, your offering, often there's the case that people are not coming to you. So you've got to have belief that you have some value to bring to the world or your target audience. And you've got to have the optimism that when you engage in that conversation, they are going to buy into you. Otherwise, you won't put a step forward. So you won't send that email. You won't make that phone call. You won't attend that networking event. You won't take that referral if you don't feel confident in what you do. Now, the thing about confidence, it does also come from competence. You have to be competent at what you do. The more competent that you are, the more practice you put into something, the more confident that you can be. But actually, there's also many scenarios that you don't yet have the full competencies, but you've got to show up in a confident way. So it's a very fine line, but very, very important to get right in business and life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting. You mentioned about sending that email, making that phone call, but I think sometimes in sales, it's a bit easier to send the email, isn't it, than actually pick up the phone. And I remember someone once saying to me, I think they may have been a guest on this podcast, I can't remember, James, but they said, when the mindset for picking up the phone is thinking you're doing the person on the other end of the line a favor by calling them. Because if you don't call them, they're never going to know what they could be missing out on that you've got to offer. And that's a kind of mindset thing by the sounds of it, isn't it?
I completely agree. So, for example, I have this line in regards to cold calling. I don't believe there's anything such as a cold call, because every time you call someone, fortunately, and hopefully if they're breathing, it's warm, right? So that's a mindset shift as well.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, when you speak to someone, if you have value, you are giving them an opportunity to learn about something that could positively impact their business, save them money, make them money, drive efficiencies, whatever it might be. You exist to help other people, and it's okay to go and find those people. And yes, it can feel like an interruption. Yes, it can be uncomfortable. But if you are genuinely there to help someone, then that's how you should be perceived. And you need to give yourself the opportunity to create those opportunities. And you have to do that with confidence. You have to show up every single day being as confident as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and as you well know, it's not an easy thing to do, that, is it? And I guess people join, you know, sign up for your membership so you can be there as their, what, their coach and advisor and inspiration, really. Is that kind of how that works?
Yeah. You know, for us, it's about creating a circle of people around you that can support you. So within our membership, we give people access to mentorship, coaching, peer groups, masterclasses, dinners. And for me, it's about an environment. My background was as a high-performing rowing athlete. I was part of high-performance school and university programs. I never quite made Great Britain, but my friends did. And I was surrounded with high-performance. I still got a chip on my shoulder about that, but I've applied it to business. I still believe, you know, that it's about surrounding yourself with people that can help you get to the next level. And I believe that, you know, a rising tide obviously rises all ships. So if you're surrounded by these people that can help you get to the next level, if you're surrounding people with people that are confident and they believe in themselves, this is all going to rub off on you. And you can change your state. You know, if you're feeling low and you're not quite feeling confident, then all you have to do is pick up the phone to a friend that is full of confidence, full of beans at the moment. And by osmosis, you will start to experience that very quickly, which will help you change that state and help you get on with your day or week or month.
It's interesting what you say about the rowing there, James, because, you know, I'm involved in quite a lot of sport, and I'm a big believer in the fact that, you know, if you can carry over some of the principles you learn in sport into your business life, it makes a difference. And clearly, you know, when you're a high top class rower, I imagine, you know, confidence is a big thing, isn't it? You can do all the training in the world and all the practice, but on the day, you know, I imagine you've got to have that mindset. We are going to win. And did you find that helped you doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll take it a step further is, you know, having the will, the belief that you're going to win, it's like visualizing the outcome before it's happened. So if you can imagine, you know, going into a sales process or going into a speaking gig or going into a meeting, I very much believe and think about how I'm going to visualize the outcome of that. So even today, in preparation for this conversation, you know, I've rewatched some of the episodes. I've seen you interact with people. I can see the pace that you work at. I've thought about the kind of responses that I want to bring, the energy to match your energy. This has all been a fairly pre-rehearsed routine. Now, I don't know what you're going to ask. I don't know when you're going to know ask it. But what I am doing is preparing myself visually and mentally for what might play out. And that mental rehearsal very much is a critical part of sport, and it is in business. I don't think enough people take advantage of that mental rehearsal and preparation and visualizing what the outcome they want to achieve in whatever they're going to pursue.
Well, I absolutely agree with you there in terms of not enough people doing the preparation, you know, because when I work with people on presentations, when they come to me, I discover that they're just not used to spending what I would call sufficient time preparing and certainly practicing. And as you rightly say, you know, trying to second guess the questions that you might get asked or the way the conversation might go. And I think if you're in sales and you do, as you say, visualize possibly how that might work, that's going to make a big, big difference. So this podcast is all about better presentations and more sales, and confidence is a big part of that, James. So let's just move towards, you mentioned about, you know, speaking in front of an audience and maybe doing some sort of presentation. And in the sort of notes we discussed prior to the podcast, we talked about things like how to own the room and how to inspire and sell from the stage. So just give us a bit of a feel for how you know some tips and ideas that, you know, listeners could benefit from your knowledge in that area.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for asking. So I've had the pleasure of hosting hundreds of events over the last 6 years as a result of organizing networking events. And often I'm the host, and I'm therefore considered a person of influence and a person of interest. And I think going into a room, it's really important that you create attention on you if you want to influence people in that room. Right. So, you know, one of the first things to do, I always, when I enter a room, one, I look up and I smile, and I usually walk the whole room before I stop. So what often people do, their head's down, they walk into a room and they stop. They don't get any further. So what I like to do to work the room, and this is before I go on stage, right, is I walk around the whole room, maybe once, maybe twice, and I just like become present. I'm smiling, I'm nodding at people even before I'm interacting with them. So I become someone of interest in that room. Now, in my case, if I'm hosting and if someone is going to do a talk, you already want to create visibility of you before you get on that stage. Now, once you are up on stage, this is your opportunity to have full focus, all eyeballs on you, and you want to get everybody's attention. So, for example, if you are in a large room, or it's a large meeting room, or even if you're on a stage, you know, you want to be in the audience. You want to be at the front of the stage. I often find people hiding at the back of the room or back of the stage, you know, crouching under the presentation slides, like, because they're scared and fearful about being up front and center in the environment, being amongst the people that they speak to. So that is a kind of key focus. I'm a big believer that you should be beaming with a smile. You know, that is an instant way to build likability. I do believe likability actually can be trained, and that might be something that we touch on. But ultimately, I want to set out the expectation with the audience that I'm going to deliver something of value. And the key framework that I often work to is, how can I get someone to think, feel, and act? So what are they going to be thinking when I speak? What are they going to feel? What are they actually going to feel? And what are they going to experience while I'm speaking? And then ultimately, you have success if they take action. If they go and take action immediately or after the talk or the next day, then you have delivered something of value. And that's the important framework. And that's kind of how I think about owning the room.
And how do you find, James, I mean, you've obviously been doing this for a long time, but you must work with people who are, and people will be listening to this podcast because they want the confidence to kind of get up there and do a great job. So is there anything that you know, any sort of main thing that you would pass on to people who are listening to this and they're thinking, well, that's all right for you, James, because you've done this millions of times. But what about me? I am the one hiding under my slides. How do I get away from that?
So there's a couple of things. So I've been working with a number of people recently on their anxiety around public speaking.
Right.
And one of the great things that I've noticed, a great way to practice, is recording yourself on video. And you can just do this on your phone. And so I get my coachees to do daily videos where they have to show up on video and record part of their introduction or part of their presentation. And then they have to go and watch that back and you can be analyzed. Now, most people are scared because they've not done it or they've not done it as much as they could do to build the competence and therefore the confidence. So if you can just record yourself daily in front of the video, no one else is watching, you don't have to post this on social media, and then you watch it back, you will start to feel more comfortable in your own skin. You'll start to feel comfortable that you're filming yourself, and that will start to mentally prepare you for delivering a big presentation or a big pitch or going up on a stage.
That's a great idea. I'll put that in the show notes to prompt listeners to do that. But I think you mentioned there, maybe don't record the whole thing. Did I get that? Maybe just a bit of it? A segment of it?
Yeah, you just want to focus on a segment. Maybe it's the introduction. Maybe it's like a key part of the talk. Maybe it's your closing comments. Maybe it's your opening summary. It's just an area that you can continuously practice, because I think a lot of people are striving for perfection. They have this idea in their mind that it has to be absolutely perfect, and they're conscious that they may not be perceived as an expert, or they might get found out, or they might be an imposter. And actually, what I tend to say to people is, look, just aim for a 7 out of 10, and trust me, the audience won't know any different, and you'll feel much better unless you weren't and striving for a 10, because a 10 is, that's perfection, is impossible.
It's interesting to say that, because I've worked with several people who, one of their main concerns is they will forget something. You know, they might forget one of their lines, or, and they, you know, they struggle. They think, oh, I need to be word perfect. And I say, no, you don't. And if you forget something, who knows? Who knows except you've forgotten it? So
I totally agree. No, but it's a very, very valid point. You know, there's this perception that you're going to get found out, or you're not going to bring value, or you're going to forget something. More often than not, the audience has a lot less context, insight, and information into you, your experience, your industry, your stories. It's totally unique to you. So actually, whatever comes out of your mouth will have value. It's just your delivery, which can be improved with the tips that we've talked about and the practice and how you show up.
Now, regular listeners to this podcast, James, will have heard me bang on at certain times about what the things I call the four E's when you're actually speaking or presenting, which is you need to engage your audience, you need to educate them, you need to enthuse them. And then I also talk about, to a degree, entertaining them without fire eating and constantly telling jokes. But so how does the entertainment bit come in for you? Because you mentioned in the preamble about how to be clever with entertainment.
Yeah, I think if you have a large audience, which I would say is in the audience over 10 people in a room or in a Zoom, you've got to be memorable.
Right.
You've got to be engaging. You've got to be enthusiastic, as you've said, and you have to entertain. I believe you have to entertain, because otherwise it's going to be forgotten. So, you know, we mentioned earlier about smiling. We mentioned earlier about energizing the room, but I often, you know, will create moments where I'll make observations on, you know, the journey into the meeting room. So let's say, for example, you're in a meeting room and they've got funny meeting room names. And you might just comment on the way in that, you know, you didn't realize that you were going to end up running this meeting in the Narnia room. Or you didn't realize it was going to take 8 floors to get to this meeting. And, you know, the journey on the black cab here took you an extra 20 minutes, but I'm here now. You know, like, I like a personal observation that has some kind of entertainment that's not related to the core topic. I also think it's important to poke fun at yourself in a light way so that you are humored and, like, humanized in a way that means, you know, you're not too stuffy and you're not too serious. You know, it might be a comment that, you know, I hope it's okay that I hope you feel like I've dressed well today, you know, because I had to show 5 different outfits with my wife this morning. And, you know, we ended up having an argument about it because she thought I should choose another outfit. And I ended up choosing this one. I hope that's fine with you. Like, you know, I could just throw out lines, all sorts, but I just feel like it needs to be light, it needs to be friendly, and your stories, that's ultimately what the entertainment is coming through, is like a few personal anecdotes and stories that you can just thread in where people are like, yeah, I like this person, he seems like me, you know, and if it's raining outside and, you know, you can make some kind of, you know, typical British comment that, you know, you forgot your umbrella this morning. And you got drenched, but don't worry, I got to the dry cleaners before I got here, you know, and I'm looking sharp. Whatever it might be, but I just think, you know, think about how you can go beyond being boring and, you know, just delivering content.
Well, I think, you know, and I'm sure the listeners have experienced this as well, that watching people who do presentations, you know, you don't have to move the dial a huge amount to move away from the pack, really, which... no disrespect to them, but they can be a little boring at times. So now, what about your voice, James? How important is it to use your voice when you're speaking or presenting? It sounds an obvious thing, but...
Well, the voice is your instrument, right? And like you can see from a singer, there are so many ranges. There's so many variations of tonality, inflection, power, emphasis. And I feel like you need to be able to excite people, as you've mentioned, with the power of your voice. I mean, it was obvious as soon as, and I've seen this in your previous shows, like you have a high energy level and, you know, you deliver your message with a level of intensity, which is not overbearing, but it means your guest has to match it because otherwise it's off balance. So, yeah. Like, how can you use the volume to turn it up at the right point, turn it down at the right point, but also pause? And there's a power in the pause.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think as much as, like, that voice is an instrument, we've talked about dialing up, we've talked about dialing down, we've talked about adding more energy, more enthusiasm. You really need to play on this instrument throughout your presentation. But when you stop and pause, you also give an opportunity for people to think and feel. And that is my intention when I'm delivering any talk.
So, James, this has been fantastic stuff, and I'm going to ask you in a second or two to give us, A, your contact details so people know how to get hold of you and where they can get your book and all that sort of stuff. And then I always ask guests for one or two top tips that listeners could implement straight away. But before I do that, I just want to ask you one kind of final area, because this is all about, your book is about confidence, sales confidence is your company. So, you know, for those listeners who are still not sure, you know, is there something that they should do to, like, you know, just commit to doing a presentation, for example, you know, or commit to doing a, you know, to putting their hand up, I'll do that sales pitch or whatever. Whereas, not, you know, as you say, they might be reluctant to do that for fear of thinking they're not doing very well. So is that something you would encourage them to do? Literally put their hand up and say, let me do that.
100%. Within your company, create an opportunity to present. If you're a small business owner, you know, join a networking opportunity, approach other networking events and request an opportunity to speak, even if it's not a full speaking slot, even if you could just say, look, I'm practicing and wanting to improve my public speaking skills. I'd love to see if I can come and add some value for 1 or 2 minutes. I'm not asking for a full speaking slot, but if I could introduce maybe another speaker. Like, you have to create these situations. And then, as I've said, to create the experience, all you need to do is start speaking in front of a camera daily. That video doesn't have to go anywhere, but if you start recording in front of a camera, you're going to feel much, much more comfortable and confident.
So, James, just let people know how they can find you, your website. Where do you want people to go to get to know more about you?
Yeah, sure. The easiest way to connect with me is on LinkedIn, James Ski Sales Confidence. I am on all other social media platforms. If you want to email me, you can email me at james.ski@salesconfidence.com. And my website is salesconfidence.com. So I'm on most channels. You know, I'm very accessible. I often will live stream, so you can jump on and ask me questions live. Fantastic. And I enjoy that level of interaction and engagement.
Yeah, and I can vouch for that, listeners, because I've had a good look through James's website prior to this recording. And there is a huge amount of stuff on there going on. Yeah, you're a busy fella, aren't you? Flipping heck.
Well, I'm working on it. You know, I always say I prefer to be busy than bored.
Right. So what about one or two top tips? You may have mentioned them already, James, that listeners can implement straight away that will make a big difference to the way they approach their sales or their speaking or their presenting.
Number one, start smiling more. Show up for that Zoom call, that meeting, that presentation, and smile and beam across the room. When you enter a room, walk the room. Don't just sit down straight away. Make your way around that room. And then number three would be the framework I mentioned earlier, which is, how do you get people to think, feel, and act? What is the message you're going to get across, and how are they going to think? What are they going to feel and experience? And then what action are they going to take post engaging with you? That would be my key takeaways from this conversation.
Fantastic. Well, James, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, what an episode. God, that was 25 minutes or so recording with James. I always say to guests it's about a 20-minute recording, but the time just flew by. So I hope you really enjoyed that, and it flew by for you as well. So some great tips there from James at the end, which I've put in the show notes. But, you know, start smiling more. It's a big thing, isn't it? Because if you're kind of smiling, then your body language is saying you're enjoying things, and that will rub off on not only on you, but on your audience as well, and the people you might, you know, whether your audience is one-to-one person that you stood in front of doing sales, or an audience, you know, there for your presentation. And walk the room. I love that idea. You know, so when it is your turn to present, you know, walk around the room. You know, head up, smiling, looking at people, maybe a little chat. Make that work. And then those three-step framework that James talked about. you know, think about, well, think about is one of them, but, you know, what are your audience going to think, what are they going to feel, and what are they going to act, what are they going to do when you have delivered your presentation to them? The think, feel, act. Great stuff. And all the links that James mentioned about how to find him and his company are in the show notes as well. So there we go. That's episode 300. Thanks for listening, everybody. Got a great guest coming up for number 301. He's going to share some amazing tips on public speaking and the like. So look forward to that. See you then. And thanks very much for listening. And don't forget to leave that rating or review. And if you want to take advantage of the 50% offer on transforming business presentations, go to onlinepresentations.com. And when you get to the checkout, put in the code 7steps50. Thanks very much.